The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, we far surpassed spring right here in Israel. We've gone to hot and humid.
Yeah, that ship has sailed. Absolutely. But what is the weather like? Is it a warm, considered a hot summer?
It is hot, it is humid, and as you know, August is a month for very verkrimpt Israelis, because nobody knows what to do with their children, and everybody is just uptight.
Right. Okay. So, luckily, we are a few days away from that. You and the United Nations, Navi Pillay, write a letter in support of Milun Kotari and his vile comments. Let's talk about that. Let's start at the beginning. Who is Milun Kotari, and what did they have to say?
Okay. So, Milun Kotari is one of the three investigators a part of that commission of inquiry that the United Nations Human Rights Council, an agency of the United Nations, not exactly known for its love of Israel. You know, I don't think they're going to be breaking out in a rousing rendition of Hatikva anytime soon. But they are the three investigators in that permanent inquiry into Israel and the conflict with the Palestinians. Now, of course, we know what the mandate says. It's basically Israel is guilty before we've even begun an investigation. It's an investigation that has been roundly dismissed by Israel because of the nature of its investigators and its mandate. And of course, the UNHRC has faced a lot of criticism, not just from Israel or from NGOs like UN Watch and various others, but also from countries like the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, Germany, for its almost obsessive focus on the state of Israel. So earlier this week, Milun Kotari, he's one of the three investigators, along with Navi Pillay, who you and I have discussed quite often on this show because of her history making anti-Israel, making anti-Semitic comments. He was speaking to Mondavas. Well, color me shook, Howard, because Mondavas is probably one of the most extremely vehemently anti-Israel media platforms out there. You know, they're on a par with Electronic Intifada, those kind of media outlets. But he was recorded saying, you know, I would go as far as to raise the question of why Israel is even a member of the United Nations. Israel is a sovereign state. Israel is a sovereign state and as such a member of the global community and is a member of the United Nations. I mean, that statement itself is preposterous. But wait, there's more. He goes on to say, we are very disheartened by the social media that is controlled largely by whether it is the Jewish lobby or specific NGOs. Now, that goes back to medieval type of anti-Semitism, you know, Jews controlling the world. It's morphed into Jews controlling the media. Here we have the most modern iteration of that, Jews controlling social media. And as expected, this has resulted in a global uproar. We've had condemnation from Canada, from the United Kingdom, the ambassador from the United States to the UNHRC, Michelle Taylor, and Deborah Lipstadt, who is the special envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism, released a joint statement yesterday. I've got it in front of me. I'll read to you from it in a second. And even the United States' ambassador to the UN General Assembly added her voice. We've also heard from the EU Commissioner on Neighborhoods and Enlarging Communities. Please don't ask me what that means, but has also called out anti-Semitism, and I'm sure we're going to hear from many more countries as the days go by. But the statement I'll read a bit from Lipstadt, and Taylor says, anti-Semitism and anti-Israel bias are a persistent venom that for too long has poisoned international discourse and polluted international organizations, including the United Nations, and the United States condemns it unequivocally. They're going to talk about the comments made by Milun Kotari, and they say the United States is in solidarity with the government of Israel and the Israeli people. We categorically reject anti-Semitism and anti-Israel bias, including the comments made by Mr. Kotari, which are outrageous, inappropriate, and corrosive. The United States also firmly and consistently opposes the open-ended nature of this commission of inquiry, which only reinforces the reputation of UN bodies as vulnerable to the actions of member states intent on isolating and excoriating the state of Israel. We call upon the UN Human Rights Commissioner, Michelle Bachelet, to publicly repudiate Mr. Kotari's statements and take steps to ensure human rights monitoring and investigative mechanisms remain fully objective and impartial. And now, of course, weighing in with a letter, well, you know, I'm not entirely surprised at this, comes from one Navi Pillay. Navi Pillay is South African.
She's an export.
She's an expert, of course.
No, I mean South African export. You know, when we sometimes we export good things, but sometimes we don't.
Exactly. I mean, she's right up there with her good friend, Ms. Pandor, with this obsessive focus on the state of Israel. But she has said that Qatari's comments were taken out of context. I don't know how you take those comments
out of
context.
Yeah, Jews control social media. Oh, no, that's out of context. Can you give me a context where Jews control, where you can justify saying that Jews control social media, the Jewish lobby controls social media, and that Israel shouldn't even be a member state of the United Nations? How do you put that into any form of context? Is there a context?
Well, she says the commission wishes to address the allegation in the statement of the permanent mission of Israel that Commissioner Christopher Sadotti, another commissioner, stated publicly at the Human Rights Council that Jews were throwing around accusations of anti-Semitism like rice at a wedding. So not only do we have a saying that the comments were taken out of context, but we've also got some gaslighting happening here. You know, color me shook. And claim that Jews who felt they experienced anti-Semitism defiled the memory of the 6 million victims of the Shoah. I mean, she's really, really the bottom of the barrel.
Just read that statement, that sentence again. I'd like to try and understand it.
The Commission also wishes to address the allegation in the statement of the permanent mission of Israel that Commissioner Christopher Sadotti, that's the third commissioner, so we have a hat trick here, guys, stated publicly at the Human Rights Council that Jews were throwing around accusations of anti-Semitism like rice at a wedding, and claimed that these Jews who felt that they experienced anti-Semitism defiled the memory of the 6 million victims of the Shoah. This, in the view of the Commission, are further examples of attempts to discredit the work of this Commission. It is the very
point
that
Commissioner
Kotari was making.
You know what is so ironic about this? It's magnificent in the parallel nature of it. Is look what's happening to the word apartheid. How the word apartheid is being used in an inappropriate context. And that is actually defiling the memory of people and the suffering of people who have lived through real apartheid. And yet here, whereas nobody's actually said that this is a Holocaust, this is anti-Semitism. But of course, the language is just so, so interesting. It's appalling, this. It's absolutely vile. But to some extent, isn't it better? Isn't it better this way? Because Navi Pillay and her cohorts very, very clearly stating who they are. And now there's no dispute. You can't hide behind non-racialism and non-bigotry when you make these types of statements. It's there for everybody to see.
Well, this is exactly what Hillel Noyer, he's the executive director of UN Watch, said earlier this week. It's like, well, basically, here you've just shown us exactly who you are. And yesterday, Karen Hajioff, she's the spokesperson for Prime Minister Yair Lapid, said that, you know, it's time for this commission of inquiry, which has, you know, exposed its moral hypocrisy, to be disbanded. And the condemnations coming in from the UK, Canada, the United States, and the EU Commission on Neighbourhoods and Enlarging Communities, I still don't know what that is all about, have been pretty, pretty damning. And they've called it out for exactly what it is, anti-Semitism. But that must be that anti-Zionism, not anti-Semitism thing that, you know, Pillay and her cohorts are talking about, eh?
It's absolutely incredible, because I don't think if they tried, they could discredit themselves more. It's virtually that they've taken this obsession and this hysteria about Israel and this emotive way in which their fixation to a level that, I mean, they can't see it because they're almost too far gone in their bigotry to be able to. They've drunk this Kool-Aid and they can't see another way around it. But it's becoming so apparent to everybody around. You just need to listen to any of these statements, and they're indefensible, absolutely indefensible.
They are indefensible, and you know, I think it's long past the time where there is a complete overhaul of the UNHRC. You know, the previous American administration pulled out of the UNHRC specifically for this reason, for this anti-Israel bias, and I understand that the decision of the current administration is to re-enter, to re-engage, to try and change things, but it seems that there is a pervasive sickness in this UN agency. I mean, I just laugh, because a couple of weeks ago I sat in on the Alliance of Civilizations, where the UN was patting itself on the back for the work they're doing with Holocaust education, and they dedicated to fighting anti-Semitism. And Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General, said, we are dedicated to fighting anti-Semitism in all its iterations. Well, here's a thought. You might want to take a good look at your Human Rights Council and begin there.
I think because the United Nations and many other organizations, it sounds trite what I'm saying or bizarre, but they love the Holocaust, because the Holocaust is safe. It happened so many years ago. It killed 6 million Jews. It's very, very easy to shed a tear and say, gosh, anti-Semitism is terrible and look what can happen in the world. It's so easy and so safe because it's not current, and it actually doesn't ask anything of you in terms of behavior. All it asks from you is words. So the words are the easy part. The statements are easy to write, and we can pat ourselves on the back, as you say, when we talk about the Holocaust, but we can't, but because it happened so long ago, except for one issue, and that is the Anne Frank issue. What is going on with Anne Frank and social media?
Well, first of all, let's just address the issue of words. And we can't forget, and this might sound very dramatic, the Shoah started with words. It didn't start with gas chambers and death marches. It started with words. And we see this rhetoric rising again, and now we have Anne Frank, who to so many people is the voice and the face of over 1.5 million children who were murdered during the Shoah, during the Holocaust. And I don't know where this trend has started, but the memory, the legacy of this young girl who died a brutal death at the age of 14 in Bergen-Belsen from typhus, starved to death in great pain. Her legacy, her memory has just been absolutely bastardized. She has been accused of being a symbol of colonialism and white privilege. I mean, the preposterous nature of those comments is far beyond anything that I can even comprehend. To the issue that we had with a restaurant, I think it was in Rhode Island earlier this week in the United States, where their promotional pamphlet had an image of Anne Frank with the words, "It's hotter than an oven."
But wait
for the defense. The defense is, we don't know much about the Holocaust. We know a little bit about the Holocaust. You knew enough to draw a line between ovens and Anne Frank. That you knew enough.
Unbelievable.
We apologize and we'll educate ourselves. It's not good enough. And then yesterday, the icing on the cake, a Miss USA and a Miss Teen USA, pictured in, you know, full makeup, full Botox, one saying, "Miss," I think it was Miss Teen USA, "gives the greatest compliment. She says I look just like Anne Frank when she came out of the Holocaust."
Do they know that Anne Frank didn't come out of the Holocaust? But that's something completely different. So the point being that's how skinny they are, that they look like Anne Frank as she came out of the Holocaust. That's, wow. Maybe they are starving and deprived of nutrients, which is why they can't think cleverly or clearly, and they can say such incredibly stupid things to do. It's just beyond words.
It is beyond words, and I think that the Miss USA organization, which organizes Miss Teen USA, Miss USA, and Miss Universe, really, really, really need to hear about this. And I don't know what the issue is. I think that there has to be, I don't know, maybe a further attempt on Holocaust education, or maybe United States, if any of you in the administration are listening, when you have Jewish History Month, which is the month of May, maybe do something in that month.
It is about to go 8:01. Rolene Marks, thank you for a very interesting and fiery Israel report this morning. Have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.